nation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, And more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn number 141.
Save my soul. Grace be unto you and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson this morning is the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 28. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you.' But he said, 'More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Here ends our text. You may be seated. Beloved in Jesus, the story of man and of Satan are inextricably intertwined. Almost everything we know of Satan has to do with his interactions with man. We know next to nothing about his creation and his later fall from glory, only that he was once a holy angel of a high order, and he later fell because of his own pride. We do not know what led to his fall, nor how he became the serpent in the garden, which we see in Genesis chapter 3. Because everything else we know of him begins in that garden on that day when he tempted Adam. From that moment on, his entire identity is wrapped up in his interactions with mankind. Satan was not his name before his fall. His original name is forgotten forever. Because when he rose up in pride against the Lord of hosts, he ceased to be what he once was. And he became what his name now declares him to be. The accuser. His name even links him to man because he could not be the accuser unless he had people to accuse. He accuses all men from Adam until now of their sins. At one time, he even used to do that before God's throne in heaven. But since Jesus has died and risen again, Satan no longer can accuse you before God in heaven. Now he can only accuse you here on earth. Scripture also calls him the tempter. And that he is both of these names at the same time shows how wicked he is. Because even as he's tempting you to commit every kind of evil, he is there accusing you of that very evil which you are doing, convicting you of it, telling you that you have done this thing. This is the way that Satan runs his kingdom. He rules with despair. He wants to drive you over the edge of hopelessness into the chasm of eternal death from which there is no escape. With those two tools, temptation and accusation, Satan holds power over men. Sometimes that power becomes so great that his minions, the many demons that he has under his power, are able to take possession of the flesh of those whom he tempts. And that is truly terrible. Demon possession is not some fantasy or a mere horror story that you see in the movies. It's a real and dreadful condition. It's not unknown in our day, but in the New Testament era, we find it was far more prominent. There were demon-possessed people throughout the land of Israel, not just among the pagan tribes of the Canaanites or Samaritans, but even among the Jews. Satan rules over the kingdoms of this world, just as he boasted to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. And so God's Son came to earth in human flesh, and when he did so, he entered enemy territory. We see the power of Satan surrounding Jesus during his ministry. We see it in the many demon-possessed people whom he meets. We see it in the crowds of sinners who did not even have the hope of redemption before his coming. We see it in the rulers of the Jews, the Pharisees, scribes, and lawyers, the Sanhedrin in particular, who viciously accuse Jesus of evil, even as he does good among them. Jesus enters an evil world, Satan's own kingdom, and he lays siege against every fortress of the devil. And this is why Jesus has come, to break Satan's power, to cast him out, to end his reign over the children of men. And so that is what we find Jesus doing everywhere that he goes. Wherever he finds demon-possessed people, he casts the demons out. Wherever he finds sinners who will hear him, he goes to them and eats with them and befriends them and forgives their sins. He takes away from the sinners the very means by which the devil is able to accuse them. The entire life of Jesus is an all-out assault on Satan's kingdom, taking back from Satan the kingdom which he usurped, which does not belong to him. For this world does not belong to the devil. He did not create it, and he does not determine its future. He is a usurper, and his reign must come to an end. It is in such a condition that Jesus found you, a child born into the devil's kingdom. You had no say in the matter. After Adam's fall, all of his children are born in Adam's image, and they're sinners just like he was a sinner. A corrupt and a mutated plant cannot bear anything but corrupt and mutated fruit. And the fruit doesn't get to decide what kind of a tree it grows on. You did not get to decide whether to be born a child of God or a child of the devil. Your lot was just like every child born into this world. From birth, you were already under Satan's power, a member of his kingdom. That is how you were when Jesus came to you. At your baptism, Jesus came to you to conquer and despoil Satan's kingdom. He ended Satan's power over you. He did not have to rid your body of demons, because demons did not need to possess you in order to have power over you. All Satan had to do was accuse you of your sins, to say to God, this child is evil. He deserves to die. And the thing about Satan's accusations is those accusations are true. But Jesus washed you of your sins with the waters of baptism. He applied to you what he did for everyone on the cross. He gave you his death and his resurrection. He ended Satan's rule over you because in your baptism you died and were born to new life. Jesus cast the devil out of your life and gave you a new life that is perfect and holy, and one in which even Satan can find no fault. That is what Jesus did for you. He did for you what he did for the possessed man at the beginning of our story. He rescued you from the devil's power. But as you can see in our story, Satan did not just simply leave after that. In fact, as soon as the devil was cast out, Satan started speaking right away through the lips of the Pharisees who stood nearby. They made the most horrible accusations against Jesus, that Jesus did not really do the man any good because it was all just a big show. Jesus was casting out demons with the help of Beelzebub, another name for Satan, the prince of the demons. They called God's power the power of the devil. What a foolish and hard-hearted thing to say. How could it be that Jesus, who casts out devils everywhere he went, who silences the voice of the accuser with baptism and the forgiveness of sins, who in every way rescues people from the power of Satan, and who plunders Satan's kingdom, taking away from him the precious souls which he so covets and hoards, that all of this Jesus did with the help of Satan? Would Satan really be so stupid as that? That would be like trying to fight a war by giving guns and bombs to your enemy to use against you. Is Satan really so ignorant? Of course not. And more than that, If Jesus really did cast out devils by Beelzebub, then what about the exorcists among the Jews? How did they cast out devils? How hypocritical to claim that Jesus fights Satan with Satan's power, but their own people fought Satan with God's power. But that is how it goes with the devil, you see. You have been set free from your sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. God has pronounced you not guilty. And yet Satan does not just simply give up because of that. He comes back at you over and over again, tempting you to doubt the forgiveness of sins which Jesus has declared are absolutely yours. He tempts you to believe that your old man of sin isn't really dead, but that you are just fooling yourself and you're still living in your sins. And you must live in your sins, and in fact, you are helpless once again, and in the end, Jesus has done nothing for you at all. That you're just as bad as you were before, and you do just as much evil now as you ever did before Jesus forgave you. You see, that must mean that God's word and promise didn't work for you, the devil says. You aren't good enough for it, and God really is powerless to help you. And so you may as well give up and give in. That is how the devil speaks to Christians. Wherever Jesus comes with his word and promise, Satan always comes later with his lies. If this was so even when Jesus in the flesh was confronted by his enemies and accused of being an agent of the devil, then you can be assured that the old enemy is going to tempt you in the same way. Satan is not content to be cast out of your life. He covets your soul and he's looking for any opportunity to make it his own. Therefore, it's critical that where the word and promise of Jesus has cast out the devil, that the word and promise of Jesus remain in that place. For where the word of Jesus is, Satan cannot enter. But where the word of Jesus is scorned, where his gospel is not taught, where his promise of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation is no longer proclaimed and believed and treasured, there Satan will come back and move in with greater spiritual power than he had over that place or that person before. This is the warning which Jesus gives to the Pharisees in our gospel. For he had come to Israel, and Satan was cast out, and the kingdom of God had come to take his place. But now that the kingdom of God has come, what will this people do who receive its benefits? Will they rejoice to be rid of the devil, all while driving away the Holy Spirit now? Will they rejoice in the works of Jesus only so that they can turn around and have nothing to do with his word and promise? Or even worse, will they watch Jesus clean up their mess so that they can then proceed to drive him away? Beware, Jesus says. He who is not with me is against me. If you reject the kingdom of Jesus, what are you now but an empty house? Swept and decorated, waiting for Satan to return in force, so that you will be worse off than you were before. Thank God, then, that you are not responsible for protecting and defending your own heart from the devil, that Jesus has placed in you the very thing that fills the empty house. You have his blessing. It is truly a blessed thing to be baptized into the Christian faith and to be joined to the flesh and blood of Jesus, to be made a member of his own family. When the woman in the crowd praised the mother of Jesus, she had the right to do so, because Mary was indeed blessed to be the mother of our Lord, as are all who are joined to the family of Christ. But this blessing would mean nothing if it were lost. You are blessed in far richer measure if you continue to hear the word of God and to receive its promises and to treasure it in your heart so that the precious gift of the kingdom of heaven can never be taken away from you. For when you have the word of your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, your house is not some clean and pretty place, but empty and waiting for the devil to come and occupy it. No, rather, God himself now dwells there through his Holy Spirit. Therefore, rejoice to have the word of Jesus, which silences Satan's accusations against you and replaces them with his own declaration that you are righteous through the blood of his Son. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, most holy, who dwellest in the heavens, without whom there is no help, be thou the guardian and defender of all who in their desolation or affliction seek thy mercy. We thank thee for the love of Jesus, and that in his compassion and grace he freely gave himself as payment for our sins, yielding up his perfect life and as an offering for our redemption and salvation. With grateful hearts, we thank thee for the willing spirit in which he gave himself as thy suffering servant, fulfilling all the demands of thy holy law and paying all the penalties which our sins had earned for us. Grant us by thy Holy Spirit that we may have inheritance in the eternal kingdom. Grant that as children of the heavenly light we may earnestly repent of our sins, forsake darkness and error, and follow righteousness and truth. Fill our souls with love of thy word and true holiness. Let thy hand, O Lord, rest upon thy church to prosper it and defend it. Give success to the ministers of thy word who proclaim the glorious gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name minister to the souls and bodies of men. Stretch forth thy mighty arm to rule and direct our government, and give wisdom and integrity to all who bear the sword, that our nation may know peace, and that righteousness and justice may everywhere prevail. Put down all oppressors, tyrants, and godless governments throughout the world, and turn the hearts of all enemies of thy truth to the acceptance of thy word. For all who are in any want of body or soul, for all our loved ones who are in distant places, for all who have strayed from thy truth, for all who are in temptation, for all who are suffering sickness and pain, for all who mourn, we pray. Pour down thy blessings upon them according to their need. Hear their prayers. Comfort them with thy presence. Forgive their sins. Keep them and all thy church faithful unto death. We pray, O Father, for these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing hymn number 590.
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with the angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
O God, the Father, fountain, source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn number 54. Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.